Welcome to the IntelliSea podcast with your hosts, Joost Voorhout and Emilio Vargas.
So one of the hot topics these days, as it has been for a while, is CO2 footprint that people have, carbon footprint, as it is typically called. And whether you really believe or not believe or accept the existing science on climate change, that is not so much the issue here. I think everyone will understand that the less CO2 is put out in the atmosphere, the better it is for us. And to measure that, there's a variety of systems for that, and that's typically called the CO2 footprint or the carbon footprint. And it's important because it is sustainability, and sustainability is really responsible living. That's what it comes down to. And for me, responsible living means that you recognize that you have children and that your children have their children and that you leave a livable world for them. And I think, therefore, it's very good to focus on carbon footprint. But the same thing is true for an H2O footprint, a water footprint. There's very few people who look at that, maybe. Yes, there's websites. World Wildlife Organization has some information on it. But I'm surprised that few people are talking about it as a water footprint or H2O footprint. There is something there that I think we should care about. We need to know that we need to be careful with the amount of water. And I started looking at some of the numbers here.
Let me share something about both of those things. You know, like you start out, that there's people who don't believe that there's climate change, this whole global warming stuff is some propaganda or some other commercial market trying to be developed by whoever. Mm-hmm. And you can argue the same thing with water, right? You know, everyone's always stressing out about water. Here in Southern California, there was a drought. People dropped their use in some parts of Southern California as high as 40%.
Right.
But then their bills went up because the water companies needed to cover their fixed costs and they weren't recovering them through water. They needed to now raise the additional fees that go along. So there's a lot of inconsistency, not only in terms of the human mindset, whether there is a problem or not a problem, but it's also how we deal with the problem. You know, I can throw a rock. And well, maybe not throw a rock. I might have to run a little bit before I can throw a rock into the ocean. But I'm minutes mm-hmm. away from the ocean. There's tons of water there. And why don't we start removing the salt and using that water?
So that's an excellent point. Because 70% of the earth is actually covered in water. So when we talk about water scarcity, lots of people, myself included, would probably an immediate reaction be, but come on, man, there's so much water out over there. But the problem is, there's only 3% is actually fresh water. And to get fresh water, you need to either desalinate ocean water, or you need to filter it or whatever it is. And that costs energy, costs a lot of energy, as a matter of fact, because I've just read up 35 cubic feet, production of 35 cubic feet of potable water, drinking water, through desalination, that costs at least 2 kilowatt of electricity. Now, how much is 35 cubic feet? Few people would know. 1 cubic foot is about 700 or so gallons, and you would think that's not much. But I use quite a bit more than 35 cubic feet on my bill. As a matter of fact, my bill is measured in the hundreds of cubic feet, and I measure about 800 or so cubic feet per billing period. So 35 cubic feet. That's something you use on a day-to-day basis, and that costs you 2 kilowatts of electricity. And you might all say, that's not maybe a really big deal. I can see how we can save a little bit here or there. But all these people in poor countries, maybe, that's an issue over there. So you should really care how much water you're using over there, because there's not much water in the Sahara or Kenya or Haiti, all those places, and there we should care. Over here, we have still plenty of water and we have plenty of electricity. But even that's not entirely true, because the farmers over here use an enormous amount of water that is required for the vegetation and whatever it is that they're growing. Without that water, we wouldn't have fresh food. So the fact that you don't look at your water footprint as possibly a lot of people do with their CO2 footprint, means that you don't really care for the sustainability on a very scarce commodity right in your backyard, literally as well as figuratively speaking.
That's a tough sell. I'm looking at the U.S. and you know, we've got the Flint, Michigan, and that other town in Texas recently that had the contamination, but they had water. You know, a lot of Americans per se, and even I would say a lot of developed countries, you know, they turn the faucet and water comes out. I'm just thinking it's that plentiful mentality. They think it's just never going to run out. It's just, there's just so much. And like you said, they look at an ocean and look at all that water.
Right.
But they don't understand the effort and forget about the energy costs, the infrastructure, just to get all that water from the beachhead into the pipelines to get it to your home. That in and of itself has got to be a multi-billion dollar effort to just rework all this plumbing distribution system.
Yeah, I think when you say it's a tough sell, I think you're right. And it has a lot to do with we live on a day-to-day scale, maybe a year-to-year scale. But when you look yourself in the mirror, you think, oh, well, I look the same I looked yesterday. But when you see a picture from 20 years ago, 30 years ago, you think, oh, wow, I do look a little older. Maybe you look more improved. I on my side, I don't look improved, I can tell you that.
But, yeah, you still a good-looking dude, let me tell you.
Yeah, yeah. but the problem is we live on a day-to-day scale, so we don't see these changes happening over time. So sustainability, which is, of course, CO2 related, your carbon footprint is related to sustainability, has something to do with that. You have to look at the longer scales. And when you look at America's use of cars and electricity and energy altogether, I mentioned cars because there's so much CO2 being put out by cars and there's so much energy associated with cars. We are starting to be more sensible in the use of it. And it's not so much, as I said in the beginning, that the problem comes in our lifetime, hopefully not, but the problem could very well become in our children or our children's lifetime. Sustainability is living responsibly now so that our children can inherit a world that remains livable sometime in the future when we are no longer here. And so in that respect, that CO2 measurement is important, but the water, the H2O measurement is also important.
I wholeheartedly agree with you. But when you look at smog and how the government got involved with regulating smog, if you will, by adding catalytic converters and trying to make cars a little bit more fuel efficient and less CO2 emissions, those sorts of things at the individual level. I mean, I've been doing a much better job since we developed our smart water meter, watching the water I use and not even realizing how much water I was using for common things, like walking away from the shower for a few minutes or leaving the faucet on while I was doing something else in the kitchen. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it's gotta be some consistency there. If you tell me to lower my water use and Southern California lowers it by 40% and then you raise my bill, I don't see the reward in that. So I'm saving it for the long term for my children, but I'm not quite seeing it. But now you're penalizing me because I lowered my water use. It's the government is not supporting this. At least my opinion is it's inconsistent, the policies right now.
Yeah, and I'm not sure how that will change. So there's two elements here that you point at. The first is my direct cost that hits me in my wallet. And the other one is, of course, more the sustainability element, which is stripped from at least financial cost for me now. That's more the concern that I don't want to use so much water that the farmer a couple of hundred miles from me who's growing almonds or something else that I like can no longer grow those. And as a matter of fact, here in Southern California, that's really happening. There are farmlands now, farms that no longer grow what they used to grow, and it's all dry and arid land. It's gone. And some of these resources will be very difficult to return. And that's what I wanted to focus on. So how that locally plays out in the water authorities, what they do locally, and jack up the bills, that's another aspect. That's more like a policy thing. That's a political problem, an infrastructure efficiency problem. Eventually, that needs to change as well. You see, all these changes are happening in other aspects as well. When you look now, 20 years ago, people talked about electrical cars, but there was nothing happening. And I think GE put out this EV1 car, if I remember it. It looked really dorky. It wasn't a very great car to begin with. And I don't think anyone is driving these things anymore. Now you've got Teslas. And okay, the price tag is a little heavy, but everyone would like to have a Tesla just for the looks of it. And it drives great as well. So these things are becoming acceptable. So they're becoming acceptable because the technology is there. And that's, I think, the similar thing that we have here. You want to look at your water? Do you want to look at lowering your water footprint and being concerned about it? Well, then you've got to have a tool that allows you to do that. Our water system could help with that. It could indicate how much water you're using, how much water you could potentially save. You are, of course, still the master of the captain of your ship. You can determine what you do or what you do, but you now have the control. You can do a similar thing with the CO2 footprint to some degree. I'm not sure if too many people go out and buy CO2 meters, but they do this as a derived measurement. You look at how much energy you're using, and you know that is associated generally with so and so much carbon. If you fly, then you can see how much carbon footprint you have and so forth. You can do the same thing now with water, but no one's really focusing on it. And that was my point. We need to focus on our water footprint because it's part of how we live sustainable, and sustainability is responsible living, and responsible living is giving our children and their children's children a world that they can actually live in and not have to go underground or live on Mars, however cool that might be.
Thank you for listening to our weekly IntelliSea podcast. Until next time.